Praise God. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Good morning, by the way. Praise God. Verse 11. Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, obviously, and reminding them about an offering that they said that they would they were going to participate in. And he says it this way. Now finish what you began, so that your eagerness to do so may be matched by your eagerness to complete it. Now finish what you began to do. I want to get you thinking this morning about finishing what we start and finishing strong. And I've been saying that for a while now, actually, thinking about it myself. You know, you get to over certain mile markers in life, and you know, you talk about retiring and all that stuff, but I don't see how that could be possible in ministry. As long as there's something to give out, you know, you want to when you reach the end of whether Jesus comes or if I, you know, reach the end and he hasn't come yet, I want to feel like I've given out everything that I had to give. You know, I read one time somebody said they don't want to have people look in the coffin and say, and he looks so good. Mm-hmm. Want him to look like he's wore out because he did everything he was supposed to do. I mean, Paul said, I've finished my course, kept the faith. Amen. There's laid up for me a crown and so on. So we want to, whether we're talking about our life as a whole or finishing the year strong, I don't know if there's any real place to coast. You know, you need physical rest. I understand that. And sometimes the holidays can be that way, I suppose. But there needs to be a continue going on. We need to stay in school. Amen. You need to keep learning. You need to keep receiving from God. We need to keep growing in God. So there are things to do. I was thinking about the children of Israel. Imagine what it must have been like to have come to that place after being, 400 and some years in captivity, and God sends Moses and Aaron along and says, all right, it's time to get out of here, and they went out, you know, with all the goods from their neighboring Egyptians. They went, God gave them favor, and they went around, and they got all their jewels and everything, which really was owed to them, because they had all those years of working and not being paid for it. So now they're off, and you know, we're off to see the wizard. We're gonna have a good time. I can see them almost skipping down the road and so on. And they could have. It said that they could have been in the promised land, walking. I think it's 18 days, and they could have been there. 40 years later, all that generation had died because of their unbelief. So they started well, but some of them never finished at all. And I think, you know, the human beings, Christians certainly included in that. Well, a lot of times we're good starters, but not very good finishers. And really, the finishing part is the most important part. I was reading different quotes, and somebody talking about baseball says, you know, it's nice to be on third, but you don't score a run until you come home. You got to get all the way around and do what you set out to do. So all those things are important. And it's your turn.
In case you didn't figure out, we're team teaching this morning. Look at Psalm 92. I was reading this a while back and thought, boy, I've got to share this. This is so good. And this is not just for all the old people, it's for everybody. But, you know, it's a lot of times Christians, you know, they figure they get to a certain age and, you know, we've had several times over the years where, you know, they drop out of the ministry team, you know, it's like, you know, I did my duty, I'm done. But, you know, like Wayne said, I don't care if you retire from a job, you're not done, you know. God doesn't say, okay, now you don't have to do anything more. You know, now it's, you know, your life, you know, you've fulfilled your vision, you know. When you've fulfilled your vision or your destiny, then you're gone. I mean, then we leave the earth. But as long as we're here on this earth, I don't care how old we are, then we still have things to do. We still have things to accomplish. And it's not just busy work, It's God has called each one of us to a destiny. We have a destiny to fulfill, and we will be spending all of our lives, I believe, fulfilling our destiny, you know. So, Psalm 92, and I'm reading this in the Amplified, and Wayne and I have discovered that there are two versions of the Amplified, which we did not know. Anybody else know that there's two versions of the Amplified? I did not know that. But he had one version, and I had been reading it in another version, and I like my version better, so I'm going to read it out of my version, okay? So Psalm 92, starting in verse 12. It says, the uncompromisingly righteous. Now, who does that apply to?
To me.
Everybody. If you're born again, that's you, okay? The uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. Long-lived. So long life on this earth, upright, useful. We're supposed to be useful as long as we're on this earth. You know, and I know, you know, people think when they get older, you know, I know Wayne's mom went through this, you know, is it physically you can't do the same things. But you know what? As long as we have breath, as long as we're alive, I don't care if you can speak, I don't care if you can hear, I don't care if you can see, you know what we can always do? We can pray.
Yep. Amen.
So as long as we're alive, we can pray. So we always have something that we can do that is important to the body of Christ. It's important to the people around us, okay? So don't ever come to the point where I'm not needed anymore. You know, nobody wants me. God wants you. God has a job for you, always, okay? So stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. In other words, we're not just doing things, we're not just going through the motions, but we're accomplishing things. There's fruit we're leaving behind, you know. When we leave this earth, you know, we should be missed.
Yeah, amen.
You know people in your past and you thought, boy, I thought I'd really miss them, and then they're gone, and boy, you know what? I don't miss them as much as I thought I would. Ever have that experience? Well, we should be missed when we're gone. We should be leaving a hole in people's lives, you know, because of you know, the fruitfulness of our life that we had while we were here, okay? They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. I like that word, stable. You know, when we get to a certain point in life, we should not be up and down, up and down. You know, worry should not be a more of a problem as we get older than when we were younger.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times it is, but it shouldn't be, because we should know more of the Word. We should be being transformed more. You know, we should be living more peace and enjoy the older we get, because we should be experiencing more of Christ the older that we get.
Praise
Amen?
God. Praise God.
So should we be stable, durable, incorruptible? You know, we should be living lives of purity, you know. And it's not a works thing. It's who we are. You know, I am holy. You are holy. We should be manifesting our righteousness. We should be manifesting our holiness. Okay, planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God, growing in grace. You know, the older we get, the more we should be knowing how to experience grace.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
more we should be experiencing God's ability in us. You know, physically, you know, I've told you about this recently, about how, you know, praying for God's grace, because physically, you know, there's things that I need to do that, naturally, I'm not necessarily believe that I can do them. But so I ask for grace. God, I need your grace. You know, trying to lift something. God, I need your grace. And he always comes through. Well, the older we get, you know, the more that grace should be manifested in our lives. We should be living by grace, you know, not in our own strength.
Amen.
Okay, where are we? Excuse me. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age.
Amen.
They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Lee, Ron, Elwin, Rosemary, Chuck, Doreen, Peg, Jerry, Dave, Ronnie, you're all older than me. So if I'm still producing, then every one of you are still producing, because I'm like Wayne. I plan on producing as long as I'm here on this earth. So don't any of you quit on me. You still have a lot of fruitful life inside you.
I think some of them were hiding. Some of them were hiding. They don't want to be on that list there.
Okay. Now this is for Chuck. They shall be full of sap.
You read that and you thought of Chuck, huh?
But what the definition of that is spiritual vitality. So praise God. Chuck's more spiritual and stronger now in the spirit than he ever was. Amen.
Amen.
If you've been around him much, if you actually talk to him, you know that. Okay. And rich in the verdure. I don't know what that word means. I have never seen that word before. Anybody know what the verdure means?
I don't have it.
V-E-R-D-U-R-E.
In the
Yep, I have that part. So we'll just go with that. Okay. Rich in trust, love, and contentment. Okay, as we get older, you know, I don't know for me, I don't know if how much is natural and how much is spiritual, but the older I get, you know, it's the more, you know, things just don't matter anymore. Things that, you know, when you're in your 20s, it just, why, you know, you think of the younger people and you hear them talking about things and you think, you know what, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And the younger you can grab a hold of that, the better. You'll be much more at peace and joy. Yeah, much happier life. Okay, they are living memorials, you know, not dead memorials, they're living memorials.
Amen.
Praise God, hallelujah. To show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. We were a friend of ours probably every time we have a conversation with her, we'll be talking, you know, whether it's stuff that's going wrong or stuff that's going right, and she'll just keep saying, God is faithful, God is faithful, God is faithful. And we need to remember that, God is faithful.
Amen.
Praise God, hallelujah. God is full of faith. We just need to be, okay? It says, okay, to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He will come through.
Amen.
If we believe him, he will come through. It's up to us. Are we going to believe him or not? He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Praise God.
Praise God, hallelujah.
Amen. Diane brought up my mom. You know, she's 85, and, phew, man, for lots of years now, she's has been saying basically she's ready to go. For quite a while it was very, she was almost like, I'm willing to help it along if I need to, you know, and was basically depressed. I mean, it was hard after Dad went on ahead of her, and yet somewhere along the way she came to the point of understanding she was here for a purpose.
Amen.
And she knows she's there to pray, and she's got the time to have lists and be a prayer warrior for the family. My Aunt Bobby was the prayer warrior until she went on, so Mom's taking that badge up, and she's doing it. So she's still ready to go at any time? Be happy to go? You know, the Bible says that you'll even die in peace. You'll even die in peace, praise God. You don't have to go get to the end and be dreading the whole thing. It's just passing over. It's just continuing on. But she knows she's there for a purpose. I was looking, it's interesting, you Google online and go to Finishing Strong, and there's a whole pages of sayings and so on. Quotes, yes. And so I looked at some, actually this wasn't there, but I know some of you remember Edwin Lewis Cole. He had a ministry to men, particularly, and he always talked about he was going to finish strong. His best years would be his last years, and which they were. But he also said, God never ends anything on a negative. God always ends on a positive. And that's the way it should be. Amen? There's somebody named Bonnie Feister, said, commitment is finishing what you started even when you don't feel like doing it anymore.
Amen.
Finishing what you started even when you don't feel like doing it anymore. Well, there's some things that we started, and when you know it was God that had you started, it's worth finishing. Now, as Diane and I were talking about this, you were thinking that actually we could spend a long time on people in the Bible who finished strong, but we've picked out a few here to get us to think about, because the Bible is there for our example. And the first one that we thought about was Abraham. Let's go back to, we'll look forward to them talking about him in Romans chapter 4. Abraham, remember, started out as Abram. His relatives were lunatics, moon worshipers. My definition. At least Doreen appreciated it a little bit. Right. But you know, and he found apparently Sarah was a beautiful woman, 10 years younger than him, and obviously they plan on having a big family, and God promised them a big family, but it didn't come about easily, but they stayed with it. Even when they made mistakes, they stayed with it. Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 16, I'll read this out of the New American Standard. For this reason it is by faith, in order that may be in accordance with grace, Which reminds you, if you think about it, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. The two of those work together. We have faith, and when we have faith, when we trust God, grace is released. And what is grace? Thursday night, people? God's ability to do what we couldn't do on our own, all right? But so we trust God, and then the grace comes. So in accordance with grace, so that it might be, so the promise might be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, the Jewish people, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. So we put ourselves in that same place of Abraham and the things that he received. When we operate in faith, we don't have to be born Jewish. We are born again by faith, and we put ourselves into that. David Engel sang a lot of songs about you'll never have Abraham's blessings with the Thomas kind of faith and those kind of things. We trust God, grace comes. A faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, a father of many nations I have made you. And God said that to him before he had any kids. Amen? But he says to me, I'm healed when I'm still using wheelchairs and so on. He said to you, he's caused you to be prosperous even when you can't seem to pay all the bills right now, or you're behind it still. The promise is already there. Father of many nations, I have made you in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist, or he calls those things which be not as though they were. And we are supposed to be speaking the same way. In hope against hope, he believed. In hope against hope, he believed. So that he might become a father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. So it was said, he agreed with it. God even changed his name to mean father of multitudes. So every time he introduced himself, I'm Abraham. You know, they may have said, where's the kids? So maybe he told them about the promise of God and said, you know, it's taken care of as far as God's concerned. I become a father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19, without being weak in faith, he contemplated his own body and now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, the original language leans more towards, he looked at the situation, he understood what was going on, he understood that every year that passed they were less likely to be able to produce a child, but he looked at that and he didn't let that move him. Think about that, you know, because what we're talking about is finishing strong, and the principle here is faith. If you keep trusting God, you can finish strong. If you stop trusting God, you're not going to finish strong. You know, some of the things Diane was talking about really have to do with hope. And the Bible says in Hebrews that we should hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because he's faithful, the promised. And because he's faithful, we can continue to hope that it will come to pass and believe that it's already done. Faith believes it's done. Hope believes it's going to come to pass. So again, verse 19, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. You know, I've taught a lot on that 21st verse, because there are really three principles there, and I'm trying to teach on it again, but fully persuaded, not almost persuaded, not persuaded for a time and then giving up, fully persuaded, what he had promised, which means he's willing to do what he said, he's able also to perform. So, fully persuaded in the ability of God. And most of us don't have a problem with that. We believe God can. But also fully persuaded in the willingness of God to do it for you and make it personal. And we need lots of that. Abraham was the father of faith and the father of the faithful. Amen? And so if you want to finish strong, because we know the end of the story is they did have a child. And Isaac means laughter. They got the last laugh, praise God. And then there were more children and more children, and it became just like God said. If you can number the stars in heaven, then you'll have some idea of how many it's going to be. And even with the world system trying to wipe them out, the descendants of Abraham in the natural sense are still here, still doing well. And us descendants of Abraham through faith, praise God, are doing well too, aren't we? And we're going to finish strong, aren't we?
Amen.
All right, amen. Now, another one I wanted to talk about was Job. Go to James chapter 5. You see specific principles with some of these guys that help us to be encouraged as far as finishing strong. James chapter 5, verse 10. This is out of New Century Version. Brothers and sisters, follow the example of the prophets who spoke for the Lord. They suffered many hard things, but they were patient. Now, there's no promise in the Bible that says times won't be difficult at times. God doesn't send bad times. You don't have to, there's no principle in the Bible that says, well, we're all going to have to have dry times as far as our relationship with God, our fellowship with God. Our fellowship with God can be good and should be good all the time.
Amen.
Praise God. But we're going to run into problems. We're not promised that we'll never have problems to deal with. But in the midst of all that, we are to be patient. Verse 11, we say that they are happy because they did not give up. They're happy because they did not give up. You have heard about Job's patience, and you know that the Lord's purpose for him, and we know the Lord's purpose for him in the end, you know that God is full of mercy and is kind. Well, let's think about Job. Job was praying for out of fear for his kids. Job had, it says in Job chapter 3, basically it says, I feared a fear and it came upon me. Because fear opens up wrong doors. You can't be fearing and in faith at the same time. And we just talked about how important faith is. Amen? So in the midst of that, there needs to be a different attitude. But he didn't change his attitude, and pretty soon he began to lose things. Now, if you think that God did all that, go back and read it again. People say, well, I'm just another Job. And you say, well, praise God. He ended up with twice as much as he started out with. Praise God. And he lost the family, the stuff, the everything, really. And didn't have to do that, but if you read the whole story, you can see what a lot of it happened. There were specific things that he was opening the door to that he ended up losing everything. But he's in the midst of all that. One thing he didn't do is didn't give up on God.
Amen.
Didn't give up on God. I mean, most people that haven't gone through all that would have said, hey, in fact, his wife even said, curse God and die. Thanks, wife. But I got a better one than that, praise God. But in the midst of all that, he stayed. So it says, it talks about the patience of Job, and I'm going to read for you in just a little bit how things ended up. Patience. The characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith. There's, we tend to think, and I have to say that I'm guilty of it too, of patience being a passive thing. Patience is an active thing. Let me give you some more definitions. Steadfast waiting, consistently constant. I like that definition best. Patience is being consistently constant. I started on this path. I'm going to stay on this path. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to get despondent. I'm not going to throw it in. I'm going to stay with it. Now, it is related to hope, which says it's going to come to pass. It's going to be all right. It's the opposite of despondency or cowardice, and it's related to trials and circumstances. I say that because it's different than long-suffering, although they sometimes are in juxtaposition in Scripture in different translations, but long-suffering is that long fuse. You know, life is going to light your fuse. Life is going to light your fuse, and when it does, you have to learn not to be long fuse and not to explode, be able to deal with that before you explode. Long-suffering is related to mercy. It's the opposite of anger or wrath or revenge. And long-suffering is more dealing with people. Long-suffering. Patience is dealing with circumstances. Remember the patience of Job. Remember the patience of Job. One of the teachers at Ramah said, this is about patience, the ability to stand and wait or endure without complaining. Paul said, do all things without murmuring and complaining, sons of God without rebuke in the midst of crooked and perverse generation. Vine says, the quality which does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. There are going to be trials. There's going to be persecution. There are going to be times that press on us. That kind of suffering, we're not promised that we'll never have that kind of suffering. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to be poor. But there are certain things that as long as we're here, we're going to have to press on through. And then the Bible tells us how to do that. In the midst of that, we need to be consistently constant and patient. In the last chapter of the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 10, it says this, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. That's what patience will do for you. Amen? Amen. So we're not going to quit.
Praise God. Okay, third one we want to look at this morning is Joseph. And you know the story of Joseph, if you've been in church very long, you know that when he was younger, that you remember he had these dreams about his parents and his brothers bowing down to him, you know, the moon, what was it, the moon and the sun, or the moon and the stars bowing down to him. And he shared these things, and needless to say, it did not go over well with his brothers. So his brothers, you know, they developed a hatred for him. And then the other thing, he was his dad's favorite kid. You know, they had, was there 12 kids?
12 altogether.
12 of boys altogether, plus one or two girls.
Yep.
And, you know, that remember Joseph's coat of many colors. You know, his dad favored him. They, you know, the rest of his siblings knew it. So once again, they developed a hatred for him. And so what they did was when he got a little older, you know, I think when he was probably a teenager, because he started ruling in Egypt when he was when he was 30. So I'm guessing sometime when he was in his, you know, maybe mid-teens, they were going to kill him off. And then remember there was a tribe of, I think it was Midianites traveling, and so they decided, oh, we're gonna sell them to these guys. And then they did the killed the animal and put the blood on his coat and took it back to his dad and said, oh, an animal got him. So, you know, they sold him, you know, they lied about it, you know, they weren't very nice brothers. I don't think any of you have brothers that bad. I know mine aren't that bad. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, you know, it was not a good situation for Joseph. So then what happens? Then he gets into the land of Egypt, and what happens? He gets a job, and then he gets accused of attacking and raping his boss's wife, and the boss takes his wife's side, and what happens then? He gets thrown into prison. So then he's in prison, and that is to say, I would guess that prison was not as nice as prison is today. And so he's hanging out in prison, and so then he has this opportunity, and remember, he interprets a dream of the baker and the
wine taster.
The cup guy and the wine and the baker, and he gives him the interpretation, and they happen, you know, he said, well, remember me when you get out. And what happens is the guy forgot. And then we go on, and then Pharaoh has dreams, and then the guy remembers, oh yeah, there was this guy in prison that, you know, knew how to interpret dreams. Mm-hmm. So they go track him down and get him out, and he goes and he interprets the dreams of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh falls in love with him. And so then he is exalted in Egypt, and he is put as, you know, he's number two guy right below Pharaoh. But if you think about everything that was done to him and the rejection of his family, you know, the pain that he had to endure, you would figure most people, if we're honest with ourselves, most people, if not us personally, we would have said, forget this. just forget this, you know. And we would have, while we were sitting in prison, we would be thinking of how in the world can I ever get back at those guys? And we would be imagining all sorts of evil that we were going to do if we ever got the chance. And we would just be complaining, and we would be whining, and, you know, everything, you know, all we would focus on was how bad prison was. And, how, you know, and just, that would be, most people, that's what they would do. But Joseph did not. And so, you know, thinking about Joseph and realizing that, you know, what we've been learning in that, and recognizing that Joseph had to have very good heart beliefs. He had to have really good self-worth. And since self-worth basically comes from love, you know, because of his dad, he knew he was loved. And I can tell you, if you know you are loved, then you could take a whole lot more. It's very easy, and we're going to be talking about forgiveness as our focus with Joseph. And it's a whole lot easier to forgive when you know that you are loved.
Yep.
So we can see the difference with Joseph, but let's go on and let's finish reading in Genesis chapter 50. So I gave you the paraphrased, you know, shortened version of Joseph's life. So now, you know, remember, then there was the famine, and then his brothers came and, you know, got food from him in Egypt, and he pulled, you know, he did some pranks on him. You know, he sent him back their money, and then he said, why'd you do that? And then he hid the cup the next time around. He said, and then he went and they accused him, and, you know, he did get back at his brothers in little ways, you know, not what he could have done, but you see that he did take advantage of the situation. But anyhow, so then, you know, Jacob and the whole family gets brought down, and they get put in Goshen, and Pharaoh loves his family, and because Pharaoh loves Joseph, and Joseph, you know, at this point, if I remember correctly, he's in his early 30s at this point when he is ruling Egypt. You know, he gets this huge promotion. I mean, you can't plan for that kind of promotion. You cannot desire that kind of promotion. You can't believe for that kind of promotion. That was a God thing. You know, to go from prison to, you know, second in the nation. But that was definitely, it was a God thing, and I just lost my scripture. I was tapping it. Okay, we're back. Okay, so we're at the end, and everybody's now living in the land of Goshen in Egypt. And, you know, Jacob has died. They went and they took Jacob and they buried him. We, you know, fulfilled all his requests. And so we are in verse 15. Of chapter 50 of Genesis, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified. He said, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps now Joseph will hate us and will pay us back for all the evil we did to him. And needless to say, you know, they were scared because Joseph had the power now. He could just have them all killed off. You know, he just, you know, there's a scripture that I just found where it was, and I don't remember. But it's in the Old Testament. I remember growing up as a kid knowing this phrase, but then I couldn't remember if it was scripture or not. But it does tell you in the Old Testament, it says, be sure your sins will find you out. And so once again, you know, just remember that for yourself. You know, kids, remember that. Your sins will find you out. May not be right away, but just like with these guys, be sure your sins will find you out. So here they are. You know, needless to say, they're scared. He says, perhaps now Joseph will hate us and will pay us back for all the evil we did to him. And they sent a messenger to Joseph saying, your father commanded before he died, and they made this up, obviously, saying, so shall you say to Joseph, forgive, take up, and away all resentment and all claim to requital, concerning, I pray you now, the trespasses of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now we pray you, forgive the trespasses of the servants of your father's God. And Joseph wept when they spoke thus to him. Then his brothers went and fell down before him, saying, see, we are your servants, your slaves. In other words, they were doing everything they knew to do because they knew he could have determined life or death for them. And Joseph said to them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Vengeance is his, not mine. As for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it for good to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are this day. In other words, you know, no matter what we're going through, depends on how we focus on whether it's going to be turned out for good or for evil. You know, because God works in everything that we go through. He didn't bring the bad things into our lives, but if we keep our focus in the right direction, he can turn anything around and use it for good. Okay? To bring about many people should be kept alive as they are this day. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for and support you and your little ones. And he comforted them, imparting cheer, hope, strength, and spoke to their hearts kindly. Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. So we can see, you know, Joseph forgave, but I don't believe that he forgave now. I believe, you know, when it first happened, I believe that Joseph forgave them years ago. There's no evidence here. To see Joseph's reaction, you know, there's no evidence that he carried this bitterness. I don't believe he ever would have gone through and been as successful as he was if he had carried this bitterness and unforgiveness. Because, you know, you just can't. We know that you can't have the blessings of God and walk in unforgiveness. It just doesn't happen because unforgiveness is sin. You know, the word tells us is we are called to forgive. But, you know, a lot of times we don't because of our interpretation of forgiveness. But if you look at the New Testament definition of forgiveness, it simply means to send away, to give up a debt, to let go. And you know what? Forgiveness and mercy are two different things. Forgiveness has to do with the offense. Forgiveness does not have to do with the person. When we forgive, when we release the offense that has been brought against us, it really has nothing to do with the person. That's why it does not matter if someone asks you for forgiveness or not. That has nothing to do with you forgiving. You know, it's all about the offense of what are you going to do with it? You know, and then the person is, you know, we show mercy on that person. You know, but one of the things that forgiveness is not, it does not mean, okay, that if I forgive you, then that means I'm going to trust you again. No. You have to earn trust. If someone has offended you and done something really harmful to you, to really hurt you severely, it doesn't mean that you automatically, okay, we're back in the same relationship. It takes time to rebuild trust. Yep. But forgiveness is dealing with that offense, dealing with whatever has happened, you know, has ever been brought against you, caused against you in whatever way. We are called to send that away. We are not called to carry that.
Right.
We cannot live healthy lives and carry unforgiveness in our bodies. It will show up. But just like Joseph, you know, a lot of it has to do how easy it is. It's tied in with how much we know we're loved.
Yep.
You know what? And we might not have had a dad that loved us, you know, that just we just know that we know that we know. We may not have had a mom that just was a wonderful mother and loved us, you know, just like, you know, and we just know that we're loved because of those parents. But you know who we do have? We have God. You know, and God will love us no matter what. You know, if your mom or dad rejected you, God still loves you.
Amen.
If your family rejects you, God still loves you.
Amen.
If your employer rejects you, God still loves you. If your friends reject you, God still loves you. If your spouse rejects you, God still loves you.
Amen.
And if you want to live the life that God has available for us, it's experiencing God's love. It's getting a hold of God's love. And I believe that, you know, Joseph had that along with his dad. He had a relationship with God. Different than ours, but he had a relationship with God.
Yep.
Because he says here, you know, he says, vengeance is his. You know, am I the place of God? You know, it's not for me to bring bitterness. It's not for me to take revenge. You know, it's up to God. Because he knew who he was. He knew who God was. He knew that love. He experienced that love. And so as evil as they were against him, as much pain as they caused in his body, and I don't in his life, and I don't believe anybody sitting here this morning, you may have pain in your background, but none of you have gone through this.
Amen.
You know, none of us, you know, Jesus said, forgive them. None of us have come close to what Jesus went through. But if Jesus did it, we can do it because Christ in me, the hope of glory. But forgiveness is amazing. To finish strong, to finish your life healthy, wealthy, and strong, full of wisdom and power and might, we must forgive. We must walk in forgiveness.
Amen.
You can see old people that are not in forgiveness. You can see bitterness and anger and just complaining and whining. That's an indication that you have unforgiveness or anger inside, that you have hurt inside of you. If that's the kind of person you are, if you're a whiner or a complainer, then there's an indication you have some heart issues. You are not experiencing the love of God. But you know what? You can.
Amen.
It's just taking time, spending time with God, renewing our mind, putting off, you know, sending away anything that is not of God, putting on who we are in Christ, putting on that love, meditating, thinking about God loves me. And it has to be experienced because to figure it out in your mind, you can't. It has to be an experienced thing. But that takes time to spend time with God and experience his love. Because when we experience the love of God, then we can handle anything. It does not matter. The more love we experience because we know who we are. We know that we know that we know that we're children of the Most High God. We know that we know that we know He is faithful. He will come through no matter what. And that's when we're going to start seeing what God has said belongs to us. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, one of the things that we're going to have to watch for is the bitterness towards government. Towards, you know, they're obviously making decisions that we think are we look in the Word of God and they're not correct. But there's so much talk about it now, and it's on radio, and it's in front of us all the time. You can't afford to either be afraid or to be angry about that all the time, because that'll stunt your growth. That'll keep you from going forward. I think this is what happens to young people a lot of times. All this talk about, well, the world's falling apart, the country's falling apart, then why should I try? Why should I make any effort to move forward? But no matter what happens, no matter what decisions are made, God will take care of us, praise God. It'll be all right for the children of God. So you can't afford to be falling back into that. Let me read the scripture in close and pull it back together with the scripture that we started out with. I have it in a different translation. Psalm 92, verse 12. I hope that we have challenged you this morning to finish this year strong, to finish whatever you're involved in now from a godly standpoint strong, to finish your life strong, praise God, and finish it for the Lord. Psalm 92, verse 12, New American Standard. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Praise God. Let's worship.